Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today we will be exploring Amazing Axolotls, the Underwater Superheroes, a learning podcast for kids.
All right, deep divers, get ready. We're plunging headfirst into the world of axolots. You know, those little smiling salamanders with the fancy gills that are like taking over the internet?
Yeah, they really are. They're fascinating creatures, and not just for their looks.
No, definitely not. It's more than just the cuteness factor.
What really gets me is that they kind of flip the script on what it means to grow up.
Like, how so?
Well, they're what we call neotenic.
Neotenic.
It means they hit adulthood without going through that whole metamorphosis thing like other salamanders do.
Oh, right. So no trading the gills for lungs and heading on to land for these guys.
Nope. They're happy just chilling in their watery world their whole lives.
Wow. They really are. Like the Peter Pans of the salamander world.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Forever young in their underwater neverland. But there's got to be a reason, right? An evolutionary advantage to staying in that kiddie pool.
I mean, it seems like ditching the whole growing up thing would have some downsides.
Right. But one theory is that their native habitat, Lake Xochimilco in Mexico, was so stable and full of resources that, well, metamorphosis just wasn't necessary.
Ah, I see. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. No need to change when your world's already perfect. But speaking of perfect,
mm-hmm.
Have you heard about their regeneration abilities?
Oh, yeah. I've seen those videos online. They're insane.
It really is the stuff of legends. Regrowing limbs, organs, even parts of their brain and heart.
It's like something out of a sci-fi movie.
It's true. And it's not just a one-time thing. They keep that ability their whole lives.
Wow. Humans, we lose that regeneration magic as we get older.
Yeah, sadly, our cells don't bounce back like they used to. But axolotls, they seem to have cracked the code to staying young, at least when it comes to regeneration.
So how do they do it? What's the secret behind their super healing powers?
Well, picture this. You've got a crew of construction workers rebuilding a damaged building. That's kind of what's happening inside an axolotl when it regenerates. They have these molecular pathways like FGF, BMP, and SH. They're like the foremen, architects, and engineers all coordinating the reconstruction project.
Okay, I'm following so far. So FGF is like the foreman calling in the crew and getting things started.
You got it. FGF signaling is all about cell proliferation and differentiation. Basically, it sends a swarm of construction workers to the injury site to start rebuilding.
And what about BMP? What's its role in this cellular construction site?
Think of BMP as the architect, okay? It's making sure all the new cells are forming the right structures, using the right materials, you know, just like an architect would use a blueprint.
So BMP is about precision, making sure everything is built to code. And what about that one?
Ah, signaling. That's the engineer on site, overseeing the organization and layout of the new tissue, making sure everything is in the right place and functioning correctly. Like a quality control manager, making sure everything meets the highest standards.
Wow, what an amazing analogy. That really paints a picture of how complex this regeneration process is. But if we have those same pathways, FGF, BMP, and why can't we, you know, regrow a lost finger or something? What's the holdup?
That, my friend, is the million-dollar question. And honestly, scientists are still trying to figure it out.
So it's not just about having the right pathways. There's more to it.
Right. It's about how those pathways are controlled and expressed, and axolotls seem to have mastered that whole molecular dance.
Huh. So, like, they've fine-tuned their orchestra, and we're still trying to get the instruments to play together.
That's a great way to put it. Plus, there's the whole lifespan thing.
Lifespan.
Yeah, axolotls, they stay kind of youthful, even into adulthood. They keep that regenerative power their whole lives.
So their fountain of youth is working a bit differently than ours.
You could say that. Humans, we tend to lose that regenerative edge as we get older.
Our cells get stuck in time while theirs can rewind the clock.
Exactly. And there's another thing, scar tissue.
Scar tissue.
Yeah, when we get injured, our bodies, they form scar tissue to heal, but that can kind of block the regeneration process.
It's like using duct tape to fix a broken vase. It holds things together, but it's not the same as the original.
That's it. Axolotls, on the other hand, they heal without forming those scars. Their wounds close up perfectly, like it never even happened.
So it's like a perfect repair job every time.
Pretty much. And all these things, our complex biology, how we age, and even how we heal, they all contribute to the challenges we face when it comes to regeneration.
So we're a bit more complicated than salamanders, huh?
Just a tad.
Yeah.
But even if we can't, like, regrow a whole arm, there's still so much we can learn from axolotls about healing and regeneration.
Right. Every little bit of knowledge brings us closer to unlocking some amazing possibilities for human health.
Exactly. But it also raises some big questions about how we use that knowledge, you know, the ethics of it all.
Yeah, that's a whole other can of worms. Imagine a world where we could regenerate limbs or organs at will. It would be revolutionary, but also kind of scary.
It definitely makes you think. We need to be cautious and responsible with this kind of knowledge. But even setting aside the whole regeneration thing, there's another big issue facing axolotls. Their survival.
Oh, right. I'd heard they're in trouble.
Yeah, in fact, in the wild, they're considered critically endangered.
That's so sad, these incredible creatures struggling to survive. What's causing this decline?
Well, there's a whole bunch of factors at play, but one of the biggest is habitat loss. Lake Xochimilco, their home, it's shrunk drastically because of urbanization and pollution.
The classic story of human progress impacting the natural world.
It's a familiar tale, sadly, but it's not just about losing space to live. The water quality is suffering, too.
So pollution from the city is also a big problem.
Yeah, agricultural runoff and sewage, they all end up in the lake, making it even harder for axolotls to thrive.
Right, it's all connected.
It is. And then there's the issue of invasive species.
Invasive species? Like what?
Tilapia and carp, for example. They were introduced to the lake, and they compete with the axolotls for food and resources.
So these new fish are muscling in on their territory.
Exactly. It throws the whole ecosystem off balance. And if that wasn't enough...
There's more.
Sadly, yes. Axolotls are also captured for the pet trade and even used in traditional medicine.
Oh, no. It's ironic, isn't it? The very things that make them so special are contributing to their decline.
It really is a sad situation. But thankfully, it's not all doom and gloom. There are some amazing conservation efforts happening in Xochimilco to protect these guys.
Oh, that's good to hear. What are people doing to help?
Well, for one, they're working on restoring their habitat, cleaning up the polluted waterways, and creating protected areas within the lake where the axolotls can, you know, chill out without disturbance.
Like little axolotl sanctuaries.
Exactly. Safe havens where they can hopefully recover.
That's awesome. But is that enough? What else could be done to ensure their survival?
Well, alongside habitat restoration, there's a big push to revive traditional farming practices that are beneficial for both the axolotls and the people who live around the lake.
Traditional farming, how does that fit into the picture?
There's this method called Shinampa farming, which has been practiced in Chignopoco for centuries. It involves creating these, like, floating gardens.
Floating gardens.
Yeah, they build up little plots of land on rafts using mud and vegetation from the lake bed. These gardens are super fertile, and they help to maintain the lake's ecological balance.
So it's like a win-win for both the people and the axolotls.
Precisely. It's a beautiful example of humans and nature coexisting harmoniously. But it's not just about the physical environment. There's also a big focus on raising awareness, you know, getting people excited about axolotls.
Right. Because people protect what they love.
Exactly. And the local community, especially the remeros, they're playing a huge role in this.
The remeros?
Yeah, they're the boat operators who give tours of the canals.
Oh, right. So they take people on boat rides through Xochimilco.
They do. And they've become like passionate advocates for axolotls. They incorporate stories about the axolotl and their cultural significance into their tours, spreading the word about why we need to protect them.
That's fantastic. They're turning their boats into floating classrooms for conservation.
They really are. It's a brilliant way to connect with people and create a sense of stewardship for the lake and its inhabitants.
I love that. And it's not just locals who are obsessed with axolotls. They've become global superstars, haven't they?
Oh, absolutely. Axolotls are internet famous. Their quirky smiles and those amazing gills, they've captured the imaginations of people worldwide.
They really have become icons. It's like they've tapped into some kind of universal sense of wonder.
Exactly. And honestly, that popularity is a powerful tool for conservation. The more people learn about them, the more they care about their fate and want to help protect them.
It's proof that cuteness can save the world.
Well, maybe. But seriously, the axolotl story is a reminder of how interconnected we all are.
We all share this planet, and the fate of one species can affect us all.
That's right. And it brings us back to those incredible regeneration abilities.
Right, back to the science. What exactly is going on at a cellular level that allows them to do what they do?
It's complicated. It's this mind-blowing dance of genes, molecular pathways, and environmental cues.
It's like a symphony of regeneration happening inside them.
Exactly. And those molecular pathways we talked about earlier, they're the key players in this symphony.
So like FGF, BMP, and SH are the conductors.
You could say that. Each one has a crucial role in orchestrating the entire regeneration process.
So let's break it down further. Mm-hmm. First up, FGF. What's its role in this cellular symphony?
Well, you can think of FGF signaling as like the first violinist, you know, setting the tempo and kicking off the whole performance.
So FGF is like the leader getting the orchestra in sync.
Exactly. It stimulates cell growth and differentiation.
So like it's telling the cells, all right, everyone, time to multiply and get to work.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like sending in a wave of those tiny cellular construction workers to the injured site, you know, start rebuilding.
Got it. And what about BMP? What role does it play in this cellular symphony?
BMP signaling, that's more like the conductor, you know, making sure everyone's playing the right notes at the right time.
So BMP is all about precision and harmony, making sure everything is in order.
Exactly. It ensures that the cells are differentiating correctly, forming the right structures, like a conductor making sure the violins and cellos aren't playing the same part.
Right. So no chaos. BMP keeps the orchestra from going off the rails.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And then we have signaling.
Yes. Our mysterious engineers.
Just like the composer, you know, the one who wrote the whole symphony in the first place.
So SH is the mastermind behind the entire regeneration process.
You could say that. It oversees the overall organization and layout of the new tissue, making sure everything is in its proper place and working together harmoniously.
So SH lays down the blueprint and the other pathways follow its lead.
That's a great way to put it. It's like SH sets the stage and then FGF and BMP come in and make the magic happen.
Wow. I never thought of it that way. It's amazing how all these pathways work together so seamlessly.
It really is. And it makes you wonder, if we understand these pathways so well, why can't we regenerate like axolotls?
Yeah. What's stopping us from having those same superpowers?
That's the question that keeps scientists up at night.
So is it like a missing ingredient, something we haven't figured out yet?
Well, it's not that simple. Remember, it's not just about having the right pathways. It's about how they're regulated and how they interact with each other.
So it's like we have all the instruments, but we haven't mastered the music yet.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Axolotls have somehow fine-tuned their regeneration orchestra over millions of years of evolution.
And we're still figuring out how to tune our instrument.
We're getting there. But there's another big difference between us and axolotls.
What's that?
Lifespans. Axolotls, they exhibit something called neoteny, which basically means they retain a lot of their youthful characteristics even into adulthood.
So they stay young at heart and in their cells.
Exactly. And this neoteny plays a big role in their regenerative abilities. They hold on to that regenerative power throughout their lives while humans. Well, we tend to lose it as we age.
So it's like their cells have found the secret to staying young and regenerative.
It's definitely a factor. And then there's the issue of scar tissue formation.
Right. We talked about that earlier. Our bodies like to patch things up with scar tissue, which isn't ideal for regeneration.
Yeah. It's like trying to rebuild a delicate structure with rough, inflexible material.
It does the job, but it's not a perfect fix.
Exactly. Axolotls, they don't have that problem. Their wounds heal seamlessly without any scar tissue to get in the way.
It's like their bodies just know how to knit things back together perfectly.
Pretty much. It's amazing. So, you know, when you consider all these things are more complex biology, the way we age and how our bodies heal, it becomes a bit clearer why we haven't quite cracked the code to human regeneration.
So we're a bit more challenging to work with than salamanders.
Haha, just a bit. But even if we can't regrow entire limbs, there's still so much we can learn from axolotls about healing and tissue repair.
Absolutely. Every discovery brings us closer to new treatments for all sorts of injuries and diseases.
Exactly. But it also raises some ethical questions, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Imagine the implications if we could really regenerate human limbs or organs. It would be a game changer, but also kind of a Pandora's box.
It's true. We need to be mindful of the potential consequences of such powerful knowledge.
Right. We can't just rush into it without considering the ethical implications.
Exactly. It's a responsibility that comes with scientific progress. But even if we set aside the more fantastical possibilities of regeneration, there's another pressing issue facing axolotls, their survival in the wild.
Right. We can't forget about their conservation. Their situation is pretty dire, isn't it?
It is. In fact, they're critically endangered in their native habitat, Lake Socomilco.
It's heartbreaking to think these amazing creatures are struggling to survive.
It is. And there are a lot of reasons for their decline, but habitat loss is a major one.
So basically, humans are encroaching on their territory.
Yeah. As Mexico City has grown, Lake Xochimilco has shrunk dramatically, leaving less and less space for axolotls to thrive.
Ah, the classic tale of urban sprawl versus nature.
Sadly, it's a story that plays out all too often, and it's not just about losing physical space. The water quality in the lake is suffering too.
So pollution is also a big problem.
The huge problem. Agricultural runoff, sewage, it all ends up in the lake, creating a very unhealthy environment for the axolotls.
It's like a double whammy, habitat loss and a polluted home.
Exactly. It makes survival very difficult for these sensitive creatures. And if that wasn't enough...
Wait, there's more.
I'm afraid so. Axolotls are also threatened by invasive species.
Invasive species? Like what?
Well, fish, like tilapia and carp, for example. They were introduced to the lake, and they've been outcompeting the axolotls for food and resources.
So they're like bullies, pushing the axolotls out of their own home.
That's a good way to put it. It throws the whole ecosystem off balance. And then there's another threat.
Seriously? This is getting depressing.
I know. But it's important to understand the full picture. Axolotls are also captured for the pet trade, you know? And sometimes they're even used in traditional medicine.
Oh, no. It's like they can't catch a break.
It's a tough situation. But thankfully, there are people fighting for their survival. There are some really amazing conservation efforts happening in Xochimilco.
Okay, so there's hope.
Definitely. There are a lot of people who are passionate about protecting axolotls, and they're working hard to make a difference. One of the big focuses is habitat restoration.
So cleaning up the lake and giving them back their home.
Exactly. And that involves things like removing pollution, restoring native plants, and even creating protected areas within the lake where axolotls can thrive undisturbed.
Like axolotl sanctuaries.
Exactly. Safe havens where they can hopefully recover and rebuild their populations.
I love that idea. But is that enough? What else can be done to help them?
Well, alongside habitat restoration, there's a big push to revive traditional farming practices that are beneficial for both the axolotls and the people who live around the lake.
Traditional farming. I'm curious, how does that play a role?
There's this method called chinampa farming that has been practiced in Xochimilco for centuries. It involves creating these really cool floating gardens.
Floating gardens. That sounds incredible.
They are. They basically build up plots of land on rafts using mud and vegetation from the lake bed. These gardens are amazingly fertile, and they help to maintain the lake's ecological balance, which benefits the axolotls.
Wow. So it's a win-win for both the people and the axolotls.
Exactly. It's a perfect example of how humans and nature can coexist harmoniously. And it's a reminder that sometimes looking to the past can help us find solutions for the future.
I love that. So we've got habitat restoration and sustainable farming. What else is being done to help the axolotls?
Well, alongside those efforts, there's also a big focus on raising awareness about their plight, you know, getting people excited about axolotls and why we need to protect them.
Because people protect what they love.
Exactly. And the local community, especially the Romeros, those boat operators who give tours of the canals, they've become incredible advocates for the axolotls.
Oh, yeah. Those guys are awesome. They're like axolotl ambassadors.
They really are. They weave stories about the axolotls and their cultural significance into their tours, you know, educating visitors about their importance and why we need to fight for their survival.
It's like turning every boat ride into a floating classroom for conservation.
Exactly. It's a brilliant way to engage people and inspire them to care about these amazing creatures.
I love that. And it's not just the locals who are captivated by axolotls, right? They've become global icons.
Oh, absolutely. You see them everywhere these days. In video games, on social media, even as mascots for breweries.
They're like the unofficial mascot of cuteness and resilience.
Uh-huh. I like that. And their popularity is actually a really powerful tool for conservation.
Right. The more people learn about them, the more they'll want to help protect them.
Exactly. And it's a reminder that sometimes something as simple as cuteness can be a gateway to a deeper understanding of the natural world and the challenges it faces.
It's like they're little ambassadors for the entire ecosystem.
That's a great way to put it. Their story is a reminder that we're all interconnected and that the fate of one species can have ripple effects throughout the entire web of life.
It's a powerful message, for sure. But let's not forget that axolotls are more than just cute faces and internet memes. They hold a lot of cultural significance, especially in Mexico.
Absolutely. They're deeply woven into Mexican history and mythology.
We touched on their connection to the Aztec god Zelotl earlier, but their symbolism goes beyond that, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. They're seen as symbols of resilience, transformation, and the interconnectedness of life and death.
Wow, it's pretty profound for a little salamander.
I know, right? But that's the thing about axolotls. They have this way of capturing our imaginations and making us think about bigger questions.
So how are they perceived in modern Mexican culture?
Well, they're definitely seen as symbols of Mexican heritage and national pride. Their unique characteristics, especially their ability to regenerate, really resonate with the Mexican spirit.
It's like they embody the strength and resilience of the Mexican people.
Exactly. And with their endangered status, they've also become powerful symbols of the need for conservation, a reminder of the urgent need to protect Mexico's natural treasures.
It's like their struggle for survival mirrors the challenges facing many ecosystems around the world.
That's a great point. They've become a symbol of the interconnectedness of all living things and the importance of preserving biodiversity.
And it's inspiring to see how people are responding to that message with all the conservation efforts happening in Xochimilco and beyond.
It really is. It shows that people are starting to understand that protecting nature isn't just about saving individual species. It's about safeguarding the future of our planet.
And that's a message worth spreading far and wide.
Absolutely. And it's a message that the axolotls, with their unique charm and incredible abilities, are uniquely suited to deliver.
They're like little ambassadors of hope, reminding us that even in the face of adversity, there's still beauty, resilience, and a chance for a better future.
I like that. Ambassadors of hope. It's a perfect way to sum up their significance. And it's a reminder that we can all play a role in protecting these amazing creatures and the fragile ecosystems they call home.
Absolutely. We've covered a lot of ground in our deep dive today, from the intricate science of their regeneration to the cultural and conservation challenges they face. But our exploration isn't over yet. There's still so much more to discover about these enigmatic creatures.
It's true. We've only scratched the surface.
We've got more mysteries to unravel and more insights to share. So stay tuned, because we're about to take this deep dive to a whole new level in our final segment.
All right, deep divers, we're back, ready to plunge even deeper into the world of axolotls.
Let's do it. We've explored their biology, their cultural significance, their struggles.
But now it's time to, like, really think big, you know?
Big picture stuff.
Exactly. We've seen how axolotls defy our understanding of growth, regeneration, resilience. Right, but what if, and this is where it gets really interesting, what if we could somehow harness those abilities? For humans, I mean.
Whoa. That's where it gets mind-blowing. Imagine a world where we could regrow limbs, repair damaged organs, heck, maybe even rewind the aging clock.
It's a future that, honestly, both excites and terrifies me.
Right. On the one hand, it could revolutionize medicine, eliminate so much suffering. But on the other hand,
it raises all sorts of questions about what it means to be human.
Exactly. Would we become obsessed with eternal youth? Would these technologies only be available to the wealthy?
Those are the kinds of ethical dilemmas we'd have to grapple with.
Big time. It's a lot of responsibility, you know?
Absolutely. But even if we never reach that point, even if perfect human regeneration remains a distant goal,
there's still so much we can learn from axolotls, right?
Oh, tons. Every step we take in understanding their regenerative powers brings us closer to developing new therapies for wound healing, tissue repair, things like spinal cord injuries, heart damage, maybe even Alzheimer's.
It's like they hold the key to a whole new era of medicine.
And beyond the purely medical stuff, studying axolotls forces us to re-examine our assumptions about the limits of biology, their ability to regenerate, to seemingly defy aging.
It makes you wonder, what else are we missing? What other secrets are out there in nature just waiting to be discovered?
It's humbling, isn't it? Axolotls remind us that we still have so much to learn from the natural world.
They really do. And it makes their conservation even more urgent.
Couldn't agree more. Losing a species like the axolotl wouldn't just be a tragedy. It would be like losing a library full of knowledge, a treasure trove of genetic information.
And potential cures for diseases, new ways to heal, maybe even clues to extending our own lifespans.
Exactly. Protecting biodiversity is an investment in our own future.
Well said. So, deep divers, as we wrap up our exploration of the amazing world of axolotls,
what's resonated most with you? The science? The mythology, the conservation challenges.
We've covered a lot of ground. And honestly, for me, it's the sheer wonder of it all.
The wonder.
Yeah. These creatures, they're like living proof that the impossible is possible. They make you believe in magic.
I love that. And I think that's a great message to end on. The world is full of wonder, full of mysteries waiting to be uncovered.
Keep that sense of wonder alive, deep divers. Keep exploring. Keep asking questions. Because who knows what incredible discoveries are still out there waiting to be made. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of axolotls. Until next time.
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode for you.